Our reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 3. So do turn with me in the church Bibles to page 636. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you'll walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to God's word this morning, let's just bow our heads and pray. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray that you would help us as we listen to your word this morning to bind your word around our neck, to write your word on the tablet of our hearts so that we will live well for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're talking about living for wisdom. And you only get one chance at life on earth. There's no dummy run. There's no scope to, as it were, turn the clock back and rerun either the whole of life or even just the part of life. I always felt that having brought up three children, I'd like to do it again. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean three more. I mean turning the clock back and being able to kind of put into practice many of the mistakes that I've made along the way. A chance not to repeat some of the mistakes. An opportunity to do it differently. But sadly, our kids bear the scars of our mistakes, and that's it. So, we only get one opportunity to live life, and we need to make sure that we do it well. And it's all about living for God throughout the whole of life. And this passage before us this morning sets out really clear instructions on how we can do this. There's an old chorus that I remember singing as a lad. I hated the tune, but the words are quite good. By and by, when I looked on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I'd given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands, by and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. So let's dig in this morning and see how God's word wants to shape our lives and our thinking. The first thing that we need to learn this morning is the danger of forgetfulness. Look at verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Now, most of us can be forgetful. I'm not talking about going upstairs and getting to the top of the stairs and wondering why you've come. I hope there's a bit of normality in that, otherwise I'm in big trouble. But what I'm talking about is forgetting the most important, the most vital things in life. And we can be pretty good at doing that too. When Israel crossed the Jordan to go into the promised land, God commanded them to set up 12 stones. They were to take the 12 stones from the bed of the River Jordan that God had parted for them to cross. And they were to take the stones and they were to place them by the bank. And what was to happen is this. In years to come, a son would say to his father, Dad, what are those stones doing there? And Dad would say, ah. That was when God rescued us. They were there as a way to remember. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us bread and wine because we are so prone to forget the most precious, the most important gift. Two everyday items that would have been on the table in New Testament days. Visible and tangible reminders because we are so good at forgetting. Or maybe not necessarily forgetting, we wouldn't actually forget, but failing to remember. And so we must not forget the priority in verse 1 and 3. The father says to his son, don't forget the teaching. He's teaching his son about living with wisdom. That is living for God, living with God. And it's the same for us. We must not forget God's teaching. Everything that God wants to say to us is found in his word. We live in a setting today that diminishes and reduces the efficacy of God's word. If we really believe that God has spoken through his word, we will need to listen to God's word actively. We will let God's word need to become part of us, part of who we are in life. Never forget, this is reinforced by the fact that we must always keep this priority close to us. Did you notice two times we read heart? The heart, of course, is the center of emotion. Let your heart keep my commandments. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, some people keep a photo of a loved one in their wallet or purse. I'm told others put a hair in a locket and wear it round their chest. I said to Jill, do it while you get chance, but she wasn't very keen. How do you write God's word on your heart? You read it regularly. You meditate on it. Sometimes you just open God's word in front of you and just ponder it and let it soak into your life. It's always good to memorize God's word so that we can love it. And isn't it great this morning that you're here so that you can listen to God's word? As a church, we're unashamedly focused on God's word. But in reality, in our lives, how much do we really love God's word and keep it close to us all of our lives? And there's blessing to be found by remembering and obeying God's command this week. Second thing this morning, trust God for life. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. The father now seeks to secure his son, who he's speaking to, in a personal relationship with the Lord. Now, these are probably the best known verses in Proverbs. We're not going to spend a long time on them this morning because in 2 weeks' time, we have the opportunity to examine them in an all-age service. But here's a little taster. It's all about trusting God, which means trusting his commands, trusting his word, trusting everything that he says to us. You see, this isn't just about trusting God when life goes a bit wrong and we want to hang on to this promise. This is about trusting God in absolutely everything and every part of life, not just carefully selected parts. Trusting him rather than relying on our own understanding. God created hundreds of billions of galaxies, hundreds of billions of stars in each galaxy. He's got absolute power. He's got absolute authority. He's got complete knowledge. Guys, who do you want to trust in life? This God? Or yourself with virtually no power, very minuscule knowledge and limited understanding? Who do you want to lead you through life? This amazing God, who is also a heavenly Father, who loves us? Or back and trust your own plans and judgment? Well, I'll hold on to that for a couple of weeks' time. Let's move on to number three. Trust God with your wealth. Verse 9, honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, I want to tell you this morning, we are all incredibly wealthy. If you're relatively poor in the UK, you are incredibly wealthy in comparison to the rest of the world. As we read these verses, there is always a tendency to think that verses like this apply to other people. But these verses are talking about a principle that involves every one of us who knows and loves Jesus. In the Old Testament, God's people were required to give 10%, a tithe, a tenth, to God. In fact, they were to give the first fruits, the first to God. God was to come first, and then they could take the rest and use it. And in the Old Testament, God blessed the people if they honoured him. He blessed their harvests. When they neglected him, their harvests were very disappointing. Today, under the new covenant, we're under grace. There is no legal requirement for you to give 10%. But let me ask you a question. Do you think the new covenant is better than the old covenant? You should do, not least because the New Testament tells us that. So here we go. If people in the Old Testament were required to give 10%, and the new covenant is so much better, then I'll let you draw your own conclusions. But grace allows more. But you know, it goes a step further than this. The requirement here is to honour God with all of our wealth. We don't give what we decide to God, to give to God, and then say, right, the rest is mine to do exactly as I want to do for me. Each one of us has to give an account for all that we have before God. Everything that we have is a gift from God, and we have to give an account. And there's a spiritual context which underpins all of this. We've just read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Honoring the Lord with our wealth and trusting him go hand in hand. Number four, trust God through discipline. It's getting a bit more difficult as we go along, isn't it? Trust God through discipline. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, confession time. When I think of discipline, I think of the cane. I only had it once at school, but boy, do I remember it. What on earth possessed me to climb a rugby post? I have no idea. But having scaled it to a height that was rather stupid, I came back down to the crossbar and decided to walk across the crossbar to the other side. It was a very large school, and I didn't bank on the fact that by the time I got to the other side, there were 2,000 kids watching, gathered round, and also a lot of staff in the staff room window. And I got six of the best across my hand, and I've been psychologically damaged ever since. Now, I could start to explain these verses this morning, but I think Hebrews does a much better job than I can do. So I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through to 11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we might share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Notice the common thread between Proverbs and Hebrews. For the Lord reproves him who he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights, verse 13. Love is at work here, and sonship. And so we read that God brings discipline into our lives, and we should not despise it. Because God wants to train us and teach us and mold us and refine us so that we become the people that he wants us to be. And then fifthly this morning, blessings of living in God's wisdom. Now this is a big chunk, verses 13 through to 35, and I'm not going to read the section again. But this next section is all about living our lives as people of God, following God's wisdom. And it's introduced to us as, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Now, the verses expand the benefits of following this way of life. Following God's wisdom means following God, living life God's way. And we're given a series of commands through which we can achieve this. But first of all, we see blessing unlimited. Look at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Living under God's wisdom is more precious than anything else. Our desires are referred to in verse 15. We are encouraged to have a heartfelt desire for God, to live his life, to live life his way, acknowledging him in every part of our lives. This morning, I wonder what our heartfelt desires are in life. I wonder when you get a moment to daydream where your mind goes to. That'll tell you a lot. Let's get our desires focused on God. And then there are blessings in life. Just look at verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. As I read these verses, my mind is taken to the tree of life. Find that in Genesis, and also you'll find it in the new creation. Let me read a couple of verses to you from Revelation 22, right at the end of God's word. And listen for those words again. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything cursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. And so it goes on. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything changed. And then the tree of life was guarded against. It was out of bounds. I think that was an act of grace, because God didn't want us to live forever under the curse of sin. But in Jesus Christ, the tree of life has been opened to us. Eternal life in heaven, with God as his beloved children. Blessing upon blessing. This is the promise to all who follow God and know his wisdom. And then there's blessing in security. This is verses 19 through 26. Let me just read 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Here we have a reminder that God created the world through wisdom. With his understanding, he established everything. The purpose of the reminder is that we walk in God's wisdom. Verse 21. Living life his way under his rule. Don't we sing a kid's song about that? Because this brings life to the soul in verse 22. And when we live life this way, there are promises. Look in verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. This doesn't mean that we won't have problems in life. Doesn't mean that life will be a breeze. But what it does mean is we have a Heavenly Father who walks every step alongside us. And then the last bit this morning, blessings through community living. Cast your eyes down from verses 27 to 35. We're going to pick out one or two verses as we go through this. But the passage speaks very easily and very simply for itself. It's not remotely complicated. And as I've been studying Proverbs, I have just been seeing how easily the book of Proverbs and the teaching in Proverbs dovetails into the New Testament and the teaching therein. So let's have a look. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Where would you go to in the New Testament? You could go to lots of places, but the New Testament goes further. In fact, it said, bless those who persecute you. How about verse 28? Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you already have it with you. Don't fob off your neighbour and lack generosity. What did we read in the New Testament? Well, lots of examples, but how about the parable of the Good Samaritan? Verse 29, do not plan evil against your neighbour who dwells trustingly beside you. Don't plan wrong things and scheme and abuse people's trust. What do we read in the New Testament? Love your neighbour as yourself. And then verse 30, last one. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Don't be argumentative. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't be someone who stirs up strife. What does the New Testament say? So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. The more I study Proverbs, the more I see an amazing synergy with the New Testament. But that's hardly surprising when it's God's word, is it? But that's how we should behave in the world. That's how we should behave this week. In the circles where you walk. But that's also how we should behave together as a church family. Do you know, Land Rover have a slogan. Look on the back of a lot of old Land Rovers and you'll see, one life, live it. They mean get a Land Rover and go off-roading or something. We only get one go at life. So how well are we going to live it for God? What will be our desires? What will be our aims? What will be our priorities? Listen to the advice of God's word for living this week. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. May God help us to do just that.